chapter number 7. I'll show you a story here in the Bible. Bible stories are great, great and wonderful truths for us to learn to live by. Bible stories, Bible illustrations. The Old Testament stories are put in there so that you and I won't make the same mistakes them people did. So you learn your lesson one way or the other. You can learn it the easy way or you can learn it the hard way, but you'll learn your lesson. I tell them kids that all the time. I said, what we're telling y'all, you're going to learn it. You can take it from us or you can find out the hard way in jail or rehab or whatever, and maybe even in hell. So I hope that you'll listen. There's a story here in Joshua chapter 7 when they were going to conquer cities. All the way in the Old Testament, they were conquering cities. Like they'd go up to this little city and conquer it. And then they'd go to the next little city and they would conquer it. And they would go to the next city and they would conquer it. God was giving His children victory there going into the promised land. Now there was a little city here called Ai. Ai. It's spelled exactly like it sounds. Ai. Ai. And the story goes here that Joshua told them, and God told Joshua, He said, now when you go into these cities, you destroy everything. It'd be like if this choir area was a city and I was going in to destroy it, I'd burn it all up. I wouldn't say, oh man, there's a cool piano, I'm going to take that home and keep it for myself. No, had to burn it up. Burn the piano. Burn the guitar. Burn the songbooks. Burn the pool. I couldn't say, man, I could get a lot of money out of this. You were not supposed to touch anything in them cities. Now, there was a man here by the name of Achan. And this man Achan, when they took over this city, he saw a goodly Babylonish garment. It'd be like a new suit, a man's clothing. And some gold, some money. And he coveted it, and he took it, and he hid it in the midst of his tent. And when he did, right then, that what they had called what they had sin in the camp. And right after that, they went up to fight this little city, and they couldn't fight it because God said, no, you got sin in your midst, and I'm not going to bless you with that deliberate sin in your heart. That's a picture of a Christian. That's a picture of a Christian. When we deliberately sin against God, it cuts off His blessings and power in our lives. Now, people say all they want to, well, we all sin. That's true. But when you deliberately live in sin, the blessings and power of God will pull back from your life. I mean, you know that. You will grieve the Spirit of God and His power off your life. So, I want to preach this, just a little sermon on that tonight and show you how it happens. And all you teenagers and all y'all young people and mamas and daddies too, the same thing will happen to you. It's called the seven steps of sin. I was not going to preach on this tonight. I was going to preach a sermon on getting ready for the youth rally. This is not what I always preach on fasting and praying and bringing people Friday and Saturday night. So somebody here tonight needs this message on the seven steps of sin. The Bible said this boy, he kept going down steps. Ai demonstrates that sin isolates, sin separates, and finally sin desolates. You're desolate. I said sin isolates. It takes you away from everything and everybody. Take you out of the choir. Take you out of church. Take you away from God's people. And not only that, sin separates. And then sin desolates. Sin will ruin your life. You kids listen to me tonight. Sin will ruin your life. We believe in God's goodness. We believe in God's grace. He loves us all. But sin will ruin your life. Sin will ruin you. Sin is like fire. It ruins everything it touches. If you set a fire in here tonight, anything that fire touch, it'll ruin it. Only one thing that don't ruin, that's gold and silver. And everything else, it'll ruin that, it'll ruin that, it'll ruin that, it'll ruin them, it'll ruin this, it'll ruin my hands, my clothes, my face, my hair. Sin will ruin it. Fire will ruin everything it touches. Sin is the same way. You are never made better by sin. You are never made better off by sinning. Every time you do something wrong, your life is worse off, not better off. The devil may tell you tonight that if you sin, you might prosper a little bit. And if you do, it is a false prosperity that don't last long. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight, folks. Will you turn me down just a little bit, brother? Listen, when you hear me tonight, I'm telling you, sin will never make you better off. Saying sin, you know, like on these magazines at the store, they put, my wife had an affair and it helped our marriage. Now, it's a lie from hell. An affair never helped nobody's marriage. I mean, you might have got right with God and started loving each other and doing better, and God might have helped your marriage, but that sin didn't. Sin never has helped nobody. Sin never has made nobody. That's like saying, I run my car into a tree and it made it nicer. It's impossible. That's right, brother. That's right. That's like saying, it's like saying I hit a car on the interstate and it made my car look better. It don't. It always looks worse. Every wreck makes your car look worse. Everything you bump into puts a scratch on your car. Everything. And every time you sin, every time you smoke a joint, every time you put up a beer to your lips, every time you say a curse word, every time you lay down with somebody you're not married to, you are putting dents and scratches and causes in your life that'll stay there until God helps you get out of it. I want to say there's seven steps of sin tonight, and the first one is a discerning glance. A discerning glance. What does that mean? You know what old Achan said? He said, I saw. They said, what got you in trouble, Achan? He said, I saw. How'd you get messed up, Achan? He said, I saw. You know what gets you in trouble? The eyes. You see something. You see something that you want. You see something you'd like to go do. You see somewhere you'd like to go. You see that commercial on TV, and that commercial on TV, this guy's got his arm around a pretty girl, and he's got a Bud Dumber in his hand, and boy, he's a captain. He's breaking that Bud Dumber, and he's got his arm around a pretty girl sitting on a brand new Corvette. And the devil says, see there, all you've got to do is get drunk and drink beer, and you'll have a pretty girl in a Corvette. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. You keep drinking that stuff, and you ain't going to have no pretty girl nor no Corvette. You'll wreck your Corvette, and your pretty girl will leave you, and the next thing you know, you'll have old red bloodshot eyes and wrinkles around your neck and everything else. I'm telling you, sin will get you in trouble. He said, I saw, I saw, I saw. That's what will get you in trouble. My daddy used to go around singing a song. I don't know where he got them crazy songs in West Virginia. And out in the backyard, he'd go around and he'd say, I had a pretty woman and an old gray mule to ride. My pretty woman left me and my old gray mule laid down and died. That's a song, ain't it? And that's the only verse to it. He used to go around saying that. And you know, I thought about that. When I said it, you know what? When you live in sin, brother, the old gray mule, brother, I mean, it laid down and died. Whatever you think is fun, whatever you think is exciting, whatever you think is a thrill, whatever you think, oh boy, I'm living the high life, it's destructive. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy you. Why do we preach to teenagers so hard? Why do we come down on their music and their lifestyle and their dress and everything? Because of sin, folks. It'll get you in trouble you'll never get out of. He said, I saw, I saw, I saw, I saw. You know what happened? You know what the first thing gets you in trouble? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the things of this world. When you see something. Some people say, oh, he saw a pretty Babylonish garment and some gold and he coveted it. He coveted it. He wanted that thing. He wanted that. He said, I want that. He forgot the price he would pay. He had a desiring glare. He looked again. See, he didn't just look once and say, uh-oh, we're not supposed to say that. He looked again. It's usually not that first glance that gets you in trouble. It's when you look again and again and again and you keep looking. And the next thing you know, you start thinking. Everybody in prison tonight. Listen, kids, it's youth rally time. Let's get right before the youth rally. Every man in prison tonight. There's thousands of them in prison tonight. And every one of them got there because they sat around and thought about something that they shouldn't have been thinking about. Every single one of them. You don't just become a murderer just overnight. You don't just go out and rob a bank just on the spur of the moment. They sit around and think. Old Bob Jones Sr. said, he said, behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. Behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. You think about it. You think about it. You think about it. And you know it's wrong, but you let yourself think about it. And let yourself think about it. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you sit around and think about it long enough, it ain't going to be long till you'll act on those thoughts. You say, well, I just been thinking about this. You better watch what you think about. You better learn to control your thoughts. You better bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, because if you think it long enough, you'll act on it. Are you hearing me? He had a desiring glare. Number three, he had a degrading grip. He said, I took. You know, the old song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory to help us, some other to win. So he looked, and he sees that gold, and he sees that garment, and he wanted it. If he'd have stopped right there, he'd have been all right. It's not a sin to be tempted. It was a sin when he took it with his hands. It started in here, and then he acted on it. Y'all hearing me tonight, kids? That's why it's so dangerous what you watch on TV. It's so dangerous, the music you listen to. Because if you think it, you think, I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm all right. Then the opportunity presents itself, and then he took it. If he had said, no, this is wrong, I'm leaving it alone, and went this way, he would have been okay. But he took the next step and took that stuff, and then that became a sin right there. He grabbed that gold, and he took it. And he hid it underneath his tent. And then the blessings of God pulled off his life. And the Lord let him fall before their enemies. And God didn't bless his spirit, wouldn't move. And he said, Joshua fell on his face and said, what's wrong? God said there was sin, a degrading gift. He goes against God, he went against his conscience, and he went against Joshua. Joshua told him, don't touch that stuff, leave that stuff alone, don't mess with it. Now the next thing, number four, I'll be through here in just a minute. He said there was a deceptive game. You know what he did? He said, I hid it in the midst of my tent. I hid it in the midst of my tent. In that, see that Bible, something else, ain't it? That Word of God nails it. Just every man in prison done that. He saw something he shouldn't have had. He took something he shouldn't have had, and then he hid it. One of the sure ways that you know when you get in sin, you start hiding it. Amen? You don't want mama to know. You don't want your daddy to know. You don't want the preacher to know. You don't want to know. And you don't. Listen, if I go out here, that the Bible said, men love darkness cause their deeds are evil. If you're doing right, you don't care who knows it. Amen? That's right. When we do wrong, we don't want people to know. You know why? He said, I took it and I hid it. Common. That's human nature. Sin always leads to secrecy. Right. You know what Adam and Eve did when they sinned in the Garden of Eden? The Lord came walking down and they said they hid themselves.
Right. Amen.
That's what it said. Here comes God. Adam and Eve naturally hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, you know what? I've heard people say, Lord, there comes a preacher, and go in the back room. Tell me when he's gone. You know what your problem is? You're hiding a sinful life you're living. I remember one time we used to go to the movies every Saturday night at Marion. There wasn't nothing else to do. When we was growing up, all there was to do in Marion, go to the movies on Saturday night. There was a skating ring. And it was so redneck. I mean, I thought, I ain't going to get out there and just roll around 2 or 3 hours. And we had a skating ring, and we had a putt-putt right down the street from where the movies was. And we went every Saturday night. My friend's daddy would take us, and then my daddy would come get us. And then next week, my daddy would take us, and his daddy would come and get us. And we'd go to the movies every Saturday night. It didn't matter what was playing. We didn't even care. There wasn't nothing else to do. We paid our 75 cents, walked in the movies, and sat down there, got popcorn, threw it, hit girls in the back of the head. I didn't even pay no attention to the movie. There just wasn't nothing else to do. And I remember us going in there, and we'd go in there, and we'd cut up and laugh. And boy, we'd get in trouble. And it's a woman would come out there and fuss at us and tell us to shut up and everything. But I'll never forget one night they was having some kind of religious something. It was a movie or something that had something to do with the Lord. It might have been at Easter time. I don't know. But I do remember them. Somebody came around and said, you know what? There's going to be a preacher here tonight, and they're going to give an invitation. And I didn't even know what an invitation was. I was about 13 or 14, but I remember thinking, I'm getting out of here. If they're going to start preaching and they're going to start that stuff, I said, y'all ready to go? And we left before the movie was over because word was getting around they was going to give an invitation. And I'll never forget that. We got out of there and we left. How many times have we seen that happen in church where somebody will come in and somebody will say, let's go, let's get out of here. And you'll just walk out. They'll walk out. You know why? Sin makes you run from the presence of God. See, when the preaching comes, it shines light. You know what I'm doing tonight? Shining light on your soul. And if you're sinning, then you're going to say, don't shine. If you're in a dark room and you're doing something you ain't supposed to, and somebody comes in there with a flashlight, you're going to say, no, cover up, hide. And that's what sin will do to you. When the Word of God exposes your sin, that's what it'll do to you. He had a deceptive game. It'll make you a coward. It'll make you hide. Amen. Everybody knows about John Belushi's drugs problem. Everybody knows about Amy Winehouse and Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain. All them people, you know what happened to them? They started out partying. They went to a party on Friday night. They got high. And then they did it the next Friday night. Then they did it the next Friday night. Then they did it the next Friday night. And the next thing you know, ladies and gentlemen, they got into trouble and they died without God and went to hell because of sin. Got them in trouble. Number five, a discovering gloom. It eventually comes out. Somehow, some way, a discovering gloom. You know, Elvis Presley, years ago, they called him the king of rock and roll. And old Elvis, believe it or not, wanted a war on drugs. Believe it or not. He actually went and in December 1970, somewhere along in there, went to Washington, D.C. to meet the president. And he wanted to help fight the war on drugs. And he was against illegal drugs. And when Elvis Presley died at 42 years old, they said his body inside was like a drugstore. There were so many drugs inside his body, it was like pills. Now listen to me. God did not make your body to take drugs into your body as a recreation. God allowed us some medicine in order to make us better when we are sick. God did not make your body to put drugs in you as a recreation just to have fun, to get high. Because you've heard me say over and over and over, you've heard Brother Jason say in Sunday school, when you're here's normal, like this, you're normal. You're normal, a normal kid, you're a normal person. Then you take drugs, you get high, like this right here. You get high. Then when you come down, you don't stop there. You go way down here somewhere. And you're depressed. And then you have to take some to get back just to normal. I talked to a boy not too far from here, right over yonder, right there in Devo. He told me, he said, Brother Danny, I've took two Percocet in the last hour. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, nothing. I said, well, why'd you do it? He said, I have to take them just to feel normal. Not to get high, just to feel normal. He said, I take two or three an hour. There was nothing wrong with him. He's healthy as a bear. And you know what? He said, I have to take them. He said, if I don't take it, my body hurts so bad. He said, I go into tremors. I lay down, I sweat. My body hurts. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's what drugs will do to you. Are you listening to me? Don't take them, kids. Leave that stuff alone. Back me up, mamas and daddies. I'm telling you, it'll destroy you. It'll ruin your life. Leave that stuff alone. Say amen right there. I'm warning your kids to stay off drugs. You better thank God for it. Alcohol, same way. Numbers 32 said, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. Be sure. Number six, there's distressing grief. Well, Joshua called him out there and said, "You, buddy. You're the man." The man had to stand there and said, "I've sinned." Distressing grief. And the bad thing about Achan is it not only got him killed, but his wife and his whole family. You know the bad thing about sin, y'all? It don't just hurt the one that does it. It hurts everybody in the family. It hurts mamas and daddies. There's Christian mamas tonight who cry themselves to sleep because of a teenager that's out there sinning. There's a wife somewhere tonight will cry herself to sleep in this town. Crystal was telling us the other night about that job she's got over there, that 911 operator, and she said, "You'd be shocked at what goes on right here in Burke County. The Amber Alert right now is about a little baby, isn't it? Missing here, somewhere around here? They found him? In Florida just the other day, man took a little baby and threw it out the window, going down the interstate, little kid, out the car. You know what? When a person lives in sin, you don't just hurt yourself. You hurt everybody around you. Achan got killed. His wife got killed. His kids got killed. Whole family. And this whole world's full of people that the whole family suffers because of daddy or mama or a teenager sin. I'm going to say lastly tonight, and I'm through. He had a dishonoring grave. He had a dishonoring grave. You know the word Achan, you know what it means? Troubler. He troubled Israel. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Bible said. Sin never pays. Now I know Achan was under Old Testament law. I understand that. But the illustration is the same is still true for us. When you go out and get in your life in sin and you get all messed up in sin, you're going down a pathway. Somebody told me the other day, they said when Miley Cyrus come out a couple years ago and just went crazy, just completely crazy. You know, she was sweet little Hannah Montana all them years, and everybody thought, what a sweet little role model for our sweet little girl. And I told them over in the old building, I don't know if y'all remember it, I said, the same thing will happen to her as happened to Britney Spears. And then somebody came up to me and said, "Boy, Brother Danny, you called that one right." I said, "You nailed that." And I said, "The world will get you. That's the way the world does business."
Yeah.
You raise them up sweet and innocent, get a big following, and then the devil say, "You want to go to the next level? You got to do this." Now she's naked in her videos. 21 years old. An absolute disgrace to God and her family and everything else. And that old backslid daddy of her will give account to God one of these days for letting that girl do that. Now don't you sit and envy them people. Don't y'all sit and say, "Oh, I'd love to be her." Listen, I'd rather my girls be in their grave and in heaven than to be out there living like Miley Cyrus is. I mean it. You say, "You mean to tell me you'd rather God take their life?" Yes, I would. Than them be living like that. She's dishonoring herself and her family and God. It's a dishonoring grave. You're better off dying, going to heaven, living right than living in this world in sin. Now, I'm going to stop there because Friday and Saturday night, we're going to unload, buddy. God willing, if the Lord don't come between that sin, we're going to unload. And we're going to have a crowd of teenagers there. And I encourage everybody here, fill your car full and get them there. And we're praying that God will get a hold of them. Don't be like Achan. Don't ruin your life. Let's bow our heads. Y'all come on right quick and get us a